far are you going?
About 30 years.
In this week's episode, we fulfill another Indiegogo perk with our review of Twilight of the Dark Master. Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, good. Because I switched to a different pair of headphones from the ones that I was using previously because one of the ears has gone out in that. I'm trying to get it fixed, so I'm having to use different headphones, but I guess that they still work for recording.
Okay. How do I sound on my end?
It's fine. So this is another Kickstarter one, right? Who requested this one?
It's Indiegogo. This was requested by Corey Schwadelwick. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name half the time. Well, I think I'd pronounce it better if I had it in front of me on my computer, but it's by Corey.
Did he also request the other ones that we still haven't done, Area 88 and what was the other, Ugly Yet Beautiful World?
Was Ugly Yet Beautiful World the thing you told me that you saw recently?
I saw like the first episode on Amazon Instant Video, but that's all I've seen. It's, I think, 13 episodes.
But you said that he requested that? Because, like, I checked through the Facebook Messenger, and the last thing he had was, like, when I asked him about this, was, like, he mentioned Twilight of the Dark Master.
Yeah, I remember
him. And then he left some comments recently in our Pat Labor episode. He's like, oh, you could do Here and Then and Now or whatever. And I was like, we got Twilight of the Dark Master set up.
He's requesting Now and Then, Here and There now?
I don't know. Like, I looked at the messages, and the most recent thing that I saw on Facebook was Twilight of the Dark Master. And I was like, alright, downloaded it, and was skimming through it, and I was like, it's Espers and flying and stuff. And I'm like, alright, I think we got this.
Yeah, this is a good fit for the podcast. It feels a lot like the other Cyberpunk OVAs that we've reviewed.
This is the least Cyberpunk, I'd say, and more like that X and Espers and stuff like that.
It was kind of confusing, like X. Like, after a certain point, I didn't understand what was going on at all.
Well, we should go ahead and do an introduction.
Okay.
All right. So, hey, guys. Welcome to the Anime of Yesteryear podcast. It is me, one of your hosts, Dustin, and I've got my other host with me, John. And we are reviewing probably our last request of the Indiegogo stuff that we did, and that is going to be Twilight of the Dark Master. I'm pretty sure this is what we're supposed to be reviewing, according to the most recent Facebook message I got from our contributor, Corey S. or Schwadelwicky. I don't know. He's probably going to be pissed off and be like, I can't believe you misspelled my last name. Well, I'm not misspelling it. It's saying it.
At least we didn't call him Santa Claus. Like Darn we did to Michael Sinterklaas.
Sinterklaas.
Yeah.
Nicholas. Oh, you know how you were asking about those Urusei Yatsura dubs?
Uh-huh.
I think I was talking to Robert Woodhead recently online, and I asked about that, and he said, you know, we did those as a test to see if anybody wanted them. Nobody wanted them.
Yeah, that series has never really gotten very big here compared to Ranma, or especially Inuyasha.
Yeah, but UI is, like, I mean, from the movies I've seen, it looks really appealing and everything. So, like, I what I've seen of it, I have enjoyed, and that was the first two movies. And I've got the third one, too, on DVD.
Yeah, I've seen all the movies and the first two episodes of the dub, which is all there is of the dub.
Oh.
And I saw one episode of the other dub, which is from, like, the Philippines.
The British? I know that there's like a British dub. Is that the one that you're talking about?
No, it's from like Singapore or the Philippines or something, or Indonesia. It aired on one of those Animax channels in Asia. With like kind of one of those low quality Asian dubs. There is a British dub too, though, but I haven't seen that one yet.
Okay.
I don't know that the British dub made it very far. YouTube.
It's on YouTube, so like
yeah, it's I think episode one of it is on there, or the British one.
Okay.
But yeah, I definitely have to check that out more, especially now that the Rene anime has just finished airing, and you know Inuyasha is done on Toonami as of a few months ago, so. I'm not really watching anything that's Takahashi at the moment. I think it's all been subbed, hasn't it? Urusei Yatsura by Anime Ego. Just they didn't do much dubbed of it.
No, they subbed all of it. I think they finished it probably in the earlier mid 2000s. Yeah, I mean, that's like 180 something episodes right there, and they've had that license, or they did have the license since like the 90s, early 90s to be exact. So. I mean, because I went through a transition of putting that all on VHS and then on DVD and everything. So, and, you know, the way Anime Ego's doing their Kickstarter stuff, they probably can't get the license again. I don't think it would be much of an issue. I don't know. I mean, you never know about that.
And then,
unless Discotech does it, and then, you know, they are able just to pick up where Anime Ego left off, so.
Isn't there also a movie that's owned by CPM?
That's Beautiful Dreamer.
Yeah,
there's an interesting story on that. I thought you knew about this.
Well, I know that that's the only movie that Anime Ego didn't get, right? But that's about all I know.
No, well, they still Robert Woodhead or Anime Ego like still contributed like translation work and stuff for Central Park Media at the time.
Oh,
so in a way, like it's still kind of Central Anime Ego's Urusei Yatsura series. So, like, it was, I mean, that's kind of a time when, like, yeah, there was rival anime companies, but, like, they all worked along with each other, at least, I guess the ones on the East Coast. I can't say for much on, like, California and the Texas ones.
Which,
yeah. AKA US Renditions, Streamline, and ADV or whatever, so. Man, I like how we're talking about any other anime but Twilight of the Dark Master.
Well, we can get to it. What do we have to say about this? Can we try to summarize the plot? Do you understand what happened in this?
Well, according to Wikipedia, says, long ago, the Great Mother Spirit created demons, guardians, and humans. Then, during 2089, only a few demons and guardians remain in the city of Neo Shinjuku. There's just others. Anyways, this is getting into the story we're about to talk about. But I mean, that's the, like, I remember, like, the opening credits of, like, that neo, I don't want to say neoclassical art, but it's kind of more like maybe Greek art or something like that. It reminded me of that, where it's, like, an image and then there's a voiceover of, like, oh, Great Mother Spirit creating all these, like, demons and stuff. And I didn't pay attention to any of that. I was just like, I have no idea what's going on in this. And then it cuts to, like, the woman's fiance getting eaten by her because he turns into like an ogre or something, and she's missing an arm, which she later gets like a cyber arm and like cyber abdomen or something like that.
Yeah, I think that the ogres are those demons that woman was talking about. I don't know why there are demons. I guess they because of some goddess or something that created them and. These two main characters who battle are supposed to be the embodiment of the ultimate human and the ultimate demon. Is that right?
Because
one of them is supposedly light and one is dark. I guess I skipped the whole movie there, though.
You're asking the wrong person on that. I'll be honest, like, I was kind of halfway checking my phone at that last battle.
Oh.
Like, it's just still shots, and then it's just them over, you know, dialogue and everything. But that's the ending. I mean, we're going to spoil this thing. I don't care. It's only 45 minutes. I mean, it looks, visually, it looks pretty cool. I mean, like, I liked how it looked. I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's kind of like X. There's pretty boys everywhere, especially pretty boy white-haired dudes. That I was like, is that supposed to be like the brother to Benton from Cyber City 08, since he has like white flowing hair. But it wasn't. And actually, interesting enough, I know that we talked about how like boring the dialogue was as I was streaming this on Twitch TV, but the voice of Tsunami Shijo, our main protagonist, is voice actor Andy Philpott, who did the voice of D from Vampire D Bloodlust. And he's done like any kind of like role in terms of like being like a leader or like a villain or something like that. He played Cars in the original JoJo's Bizarre Adventure dub. I don't know if it's going to be the new one or not, maybe. I don't know. But he did a bunch. He's done like a bunch of stuff in the 90s and 2000s, so.
Well, isn't Cars in Part 2? I thought there was no dub for that yet. Well, I guess it's on Amazon, right?
I saw the DVDs when I was in at Walmart earlier today. Like, so what they did is they got, like, they called it Season 1, but it's the first two arcs.
So that's out now.
Yeah, that's out already. So it's whatever was before Battle Crusaders. Or Battle Tendency, excuse me.
Okay, well, Stardust Crusaders is the third one, and then Battle Tendency is the second, and then the first one's Phantom Blood. So it's parts one and two that are in this Season 1 set, and there's no confirmation of anyone having Part 3, but someone must have it because they produced three episodes of the dub and showed it at a con. And they were on
Crunchyroll. Yeah, that was Anime Expo like over a year ago.
Right. And then we heard nothing more about it since then. It's pretty weird. But I do like that they didn't skip part 1 and 2, because that's what Viz did with the manga initially. They just released part 3. And even now, they've only released part 3 and part 1, and they're still working on part 2. I guess we didn't talk about the controversy about the menus, though, where everyone is really upset because Warner has included these menus that look just like their menus on every other DVD they release. I've seen these pictures online of their menus for the Lego movie and all these other Warner Home Video releases, and they all have this generic kind of solid color background. It was blue or green or something, and just a few options, just extras, and it's probably textless opening, textless ending, and that's about it. 3 minutes of extras. And you know, episode select and play, and people are upset that there's no Japanese audio option. Well, there's Japanese audio, but there's no separate Japanese subtitles. They just use the text from the dub.
I remember CG talking about how like basically the dub script is the exact for the subtitle, so there's no like distinguishing between the two.
Right.
Which is basically like an early 2000s like DVD release by like companies in the past. I know I've seen those several times from other companies.
I mean, if the dub is fine, then using that script for the subtitles, I've always thought that should be fine too, because it's, you know, either way it's a translation of what they're saying. There's no need to change "who are you" to "who are you" or whatever. If for these kind of minor little changes they do for the subtitle script a lot of the time to make people feel like they've got two separate translations, that one is super accurate and the other is a little looser. But I mean, I think a lot of the changes are irrelevant. When I watch a dub with the Japanese script, a lot of the times the changes are so minor that it's really nothing to get upset about if that's not available. Like, there were many DVDs that were released early on that, you know, with the same subtitle track as for the dub, and yet people are acting like this is some abominable practice that they've never heard of before because modern otaku are so spoiled.
That is true.
Anyway, back to Dark Master.
Yeah, I was like, I'm just let you rant, give you your... We haven't recorded in like a month, so I was just like, all right, you know.
We have some news to give.
Yeah, that's how it usually works somehow. But no, like the girl, like she loses her arm in the beginning of the anime, and then like Neo Shinjuku police show up and they capture the fiance ogre guy, and then those two twins come out of the helicopter and they're like, "Oh, we totally need him for our secret sexual like rave party or whatever that we run downtown, like the club." As I like to call it, the Cybersexual Crystal Box Club or something.
Is that what it was called?
The title of the club was called Crystal Blocks, where they had basically their door was like a walk-in vagina.
Uh-huh.
Like, it closed on the sides, but it was like, yeah, it's definitely a vagina that you're walking into. I see the symbolism there.
But, yeah, it wasn't very subtle.
Oh, no, they didn't care. Well, they had you had the one cop in the helicopter who's just like, all the men are dead. This won't last. We need to send in the 80 police ogre unit or something like that to go capture the ogre. Because, like, apparently the officers don't have names. They're just, like, known as P. Like, where's P1? Where's P2? Like, you don't deserve a name in this force. You're just known as P and a number.
Yeah, I guess that none of the cops were developed enough for them to bother giving them names.
You know, like, it was, I kept thinking this was compared to Bubblegum Crisis because it was like, they're flying in a helicopter, and I'm like, all right, that ogre's going to do something to shoot down that helicopter somehow. And it didn't. And I was like, all right, well, I know this is not related to Bubblegum Crisis in any way, thank God. Because if it was, that helicopter with the depressing cop would have died 2 minutes in. I'm just saying. I mean,
they both seem kind of inspired by Blade Runner.
Yeah, the cars are flying in Blade Runner, and I was like, oh, this is definitely trying to be cyberpunk and Blade Runner, but just with espers and, like, telekinesis attacks and whatever. Because then, like, after the police thing, like, you get to our man of interest, Tsunami Shijo, who's like, what was it? His buddy, like, is in the street, and there was, like, some lunatic with a gun waving it around, and she's just, like, completely out of her mind, and, like, the rain's pouring, and he saves her. And he starts making those really corny one-liner jokes to try to get her attention. Which I have to say, I didn't think that that part of the this anime was that bad in terms of, like, voiceover talking. I mean, again, we didn't watch this in Japanese, so I don't know if, like, that part's in there. But he was, like, basically trying to, like, hit on her, but he's doing a bad job. But, like, it's a really relaxed thing. He's actually got more personality than anybody in this entire anime.
Yeah, the other characters all speak very monotone, and there's not much charisma to their acting, but this guy had more of a different kind of style than the other characters, which was kind of interesting.
I mean, there's that compared to, like, oh, no, I can't let you pass. You are an ogre, and I am not. Therefore, you must die a death. I will send you to the great beyond. You will find peace in your heart that way.
What were those lines about French fries? Those were pretty boring,
oh, no,
too.
Yeah, like, I think that was after the Crystal Box Club, and then, like, it's Tsunami with the cop, and the cop's just, his first line is, I love fries, but they make me fat! And he's just, like, eating them, and he's just like, what do you got on the case, Tsunami? These Cajun fries aren't going to finish themselves. Good thing I smuggled in this flask of whiskey to pour in my crappy Coke drink. It's like, man, this job's getting to you bad, man.
They all seem like they kind of hate living in that world.
Yeah, it's a pretty depressing world if that's like, you have to talk, like, if you talk like that, you know there's something wrong. You obviously hate your life, but that's the futuristic world of Neo Shinjuku in 2089. We got, like, a while before we got to worry about that. But, no, like, going back to, like, the Cyberbucks thing, like, it's basically scenes of, like, I couldn't tell you what I was watching. It was, like, guys with goggles, and they got their mouths open, and you just hear, like, orgasm sounds in the back. And then there's, like, it's like a terrible S&M dungeon that someone's, like, look, S&M isn't creepy enough as it is, but let's just add a bunch of tentacles to it. And, you know, I think we'll make this club work. I mean, there's a niche for this kind of sexual foreplay or whatever. So people will pay money for this, and I guess they do, because they show up. I guess they have enough money because then the two hooker girls are like, hey, we slept with this guy. Oh, my gosh, go find some money. I know he's loaded. And then the ogre eats him.
Yeah, so I guess they have some real demons at this club that... And that's why people are coming there, because they're attracted to the demons or something. But Or maybe it's just guys in costumes, I don't know.
I guess the twins, the Wonder Twins, explain that. I felt like it was explained in the anime, but again, I just wasn't paying attention that much.
The Wonder Twins, yeah.
Oh, man. They were like, sexually attracted to each other twins. It was that, incest, I guess. But, like, because, like, you have that, like, you got Tsunami that's battling them, and, like, the guy defends his sister, and he's like, oh, you got blood between your nice tits, and then he just starts lapping it up with his tongue and everything, and I'm like,
all right, then. They kept licking each other.
Well, that's definitely your relationship. Don't want to know anymore. Of course, and they can fly too. So, like, all their battles are flying around in the air, and that's pretty much it. And, like, well, the guy is able to shoot, like, energy, like, psychic beams out of his mouth or something that's able to destroy an entire city for some reason. Because I think he blew up one of the buildings, and it literally was, like, an atomic, like, half a nuclear bomb that went off. And I'm like, must be typical every day to just lose your house and your office. It's like, I got to call in sick. There was a psychic battle last night because I don't have a job anymore. You go to the unemployment office. Look, we got so many of these cases. We can't just keep handing out unemployment money. This is the depressing future of Neo Shinjuku. I'm sorry. You're going to have to file a whole lot more paperwork than this to really state that you're unemployed. It's like, look, I can't show you where I used to work because it's not there anymore.
You better hope the welfare office doesn't get destroyed, too.
Yeah. Man, I'm putting way too much thought into this show. Maybe that's for the best, because at least it, like, makes it interesting if we try harder than this show tried for us. I don't know. Well, then you got, like, the bodyguards that go after Tsunami at the club, and then, like, they take those Bane pills, and they turn into, like, the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah, I guess they become more like demons or something by taking these pills, and it makes them huge.
Yeah, but they wind up losing or something. I remember they wind up losing because then Tsunami's showing the pills of the detective that's eating his French fries. And it's part of some pharmaceutical company that they're behind all these, like, demon transformations or something like that, or they're... Because, like, the guy that, like, the original ogre guy that they have trapped up in Crystal Box is, like, the fiancé to the girl that wants revenge or something with her cybernetic arm. And they have him locked up there and everything. And there's also, like, I remember there was one scene, like, before that was there's a guy called Junkman, which is basically he's got, like, 300 TVs around him that basically are there to watch him talk. And I'm wondering if he was, like, a Twitch TV streamer or something like that. I don't know.
The computers didn't look much better than 80s computers for being 2089. I doubt they would be capable of Twitch. Like, they were having to input lines of code on there and stuff, and it just looked like a terminal window. When they were right before they showed the DNA.
Oh, man, we're on hour 20 of our 24-hour marathon of, like, text-based RPGs from the 1980s, guys. You got stick around. The fun's just starting. Oh, man, please support my Patreon. And thank you for following me and paying me money to keep me sitting on my butt to play video games.
Yeah,
I'm not making fun of anybody that does that.
He's probably just playing Zork or something. Or, Cave Adventure, one of the early text games.
Probably Wizardry. No, Wizardry took some graphics. Simple graphics, but they probably could have worked. I don't know. but no, like, then the twins show up and, like, basically cap him and the detective guy or whatever. Like, because they were talking about the medication or something like that, or those medicines. And then, I don't know, they kind of get away with it. And then other stuff happens. I think there was, like, a scene. There was that scene where basically, like, the woman calls up Tsunami to, like, tell. He's just like, I need to know because I'm being haunted by my fiance becoming an ogre. And he's just like, he drove all the way out there to tell her, the less you know, the safer you are. And he just walks away. And then it's just like, hey, my sidekick, please keep her entertained. Which, of course, she winds up slipping him a roofie in his drink. And then, like, proceeds to make out with him to, like, daze him. And he's just like, I think I'm drunk. And he just passes out. And I'm like, I see what she did there.
That scene was pretty funny. Just the way that guy was acting in the dub. The
yeah, I think he's like the best actor, in this entire anime.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I want to talk about her like equipment basically. So, in that cybernetic arm, they've got her hooked up with like the Deus Ex Human Revolution, like blade arm or whatever. Because like she shows up into like the crystal box. And then like the twins are like, no, let's let her have her moment with her fiance who is an ogre and everything. And then like she's in there and then she's like, please remember me, you fell in love with me. And then she like proceeds to stab him in the neck with her arm blade. And then like the ogre can't bring himself to kill her and he's like, oh, I'm such a monster. Or and then he wind up and then Tsunami shows up. It's like they randomly Tsunami shows up and the twins have a battle with him. And then, like, he defeats him easily within, like, a couple of minutes or something.
Yeah, the ogre crying scene was pretty weird.
Yeah, I was just like, get ready for the feels. It's coming. Tsunami shows up and he, like, basically kills the ogre. It's just like, I'll take away your pain so you don't have to feed it anymore. And, like, you guys are probably going to the same afterlife place, I think. I don't know. Goodbye.
Probably he's can't get into heaven because he's a demon, right? Or an ogre or whatever.
I don't know if he found Christ at his last breathing moments before he was incinerated by a tsunami.
Did the ogres have like minds?
He could go to heaven, but I don't know where his heart's at. I don't think he had one when he died. It doesn't matter.
I can't tell if, like, maybe the ogres or demons or whatever could still think because, you know, he could tell enough that something was wrong that he was crying and everything.
Well, he didn't entirely kill his fiancé. I mean, like, his woman or whatever. The fiancé didn't. So it's like, oh, he still has a heart deep inside that ogre exterior body or something. So I don't know, man. It's hard to say. But I guess, like, the ending is, I don't even know how to explain the ending. Because, like, apparently, like, the guy running the club, I guess he's this pharmaceutical guy. And then they have some sort of thing where his assistant, like, activates the blood transfusion to make him, like, a super ogre to fly into space. But then he's just like, thank you for serving me very well. Here is your, Here is how I reward you for all years of service. And he basically kills him and eats him. It's like, oh, so you can't just say he's fired. I wonder if the pharmaceutical company, like, you don't ever get fired. You just kind of leave the company, air quote unquote. You just disappear or get relocated or something, which basically I think you just get turned into an ogre bodyguard.
Or eaten by an ogre.
That's it. Yeah, like when they mentioned about the ogre thing and like, oh, we're gonna bring him to the club, I'm like, are you gonna make him a bouncer outside the front of the club or something? Like, how's that gonna work? You got like the two these Prispaw girls that show up and like, you know, we know the band or whatever, and he's just like, and then just eats them. And he just holds up the clipboard like, you're not on list. No one get in by ogre. Who next line in line? That is like, because if it's that hard of a club to get in, it must be like the most desirable club or something. I don't know if it is because I didn't see a line outside their vagina doors.
It seemed pretty packed inside, but yeah, there wasn't a line.
Well, there was like four people. The camera kept showing them having like the weirdest erotic sex? Question mark? I don't know what was going on.
Yeah.
But that's not my thing. And if it's for other people, I don't want to know who you are. That's all I gotta say. But okay, so like the ending to this thing was what was it like? They were up in like subspace or something, and like the Ogre's flying up there, and he just again he starts talking. They stand around and talk about something, and then all of a sudden they bring up to Tsunami of his ex lover that this guy killed so they could fight. He's like, "Why did you kill her?" He's like, "Oh, because we could fight." It was like apparently like you can't tell your girlfriend to stay home to, you know, so like the men can't fight or something. He had to eat her or whatever. And then like he uses...
He had some explanation, but I didn't really get it. It was something like, you wouldn't be the ultimate good and I wouldn't be the ultimate evil if you had a woman or something like that. And it's like, okay, whatever. And then they just start battling.
I the word battling is very taken very lightly for me because all I see is, like, I guess he flew around some and avoided some things, and then he got captured, and then the guy used his girlfriend against him, which she had like the berry power from Robin in One Piece, where she had like multiple limbs or something.
Oh,
and starts talking about how they should be together, and he's just like, nope. And then, like, no. So let's talk about how to defeat a demon and or the super ogre, which maybe this practice can work for anything ever, is the fact that if you do not care about the purpose of fighting, you will defeat your enemy. Because he was just like, I didn't give him a reason to fight me, so therefore I won, and he exploded. I was like, what?
Yeah. The last section was trying to be philosophical or something, but it didn't make much sense.
Trying.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the fault of the dub, that some of this dialogue didn't leave much of an impression, or if it's just too short to really fully flesh out this world or what, but it only kind of worked.
I mean, we've been talking about this for, like, give and take our off ramblings earlier, like maybe about 30 minutes, and it's a 45-minute OVA. I think we've said everything that we need to say. There wasn't a whole lot of depth going into it other than, like, the scenery was nice looking. I mean, there's some things I could say about the development where it's a Studio Madhouse production, and the guy who directed it, who is Akiyuki Shinbo, he's got some stuff under his belt. Let's see, Metal Fighter Miku, did a Devil Hunter Yoko OVA. He's done some stuff recently, too. Like, he worked on Madoka Magica. I think he was a director for that, actually. Let's check.
Oh, really?
Yep, he's directed Madoka Magica, so the guy gets work.
That was pretty popular a few years ago. Everyone says it's great.
Neither have I. What?
Everyone's always claiming it's great, but I don't find the animation style appeal.
I don't know. I don't really care for it. I know I've got the Weiss Schwartz deck for it. That's about it. It's a card game. Oh, he worked on Dance of the Vampire Bun. That was something else that was recent. Well, actually, all right. Wait, when did this anime come out? All right, it came out in 20. So that's sort of recent
compared to this.
Yeah, this was like 98 or something. No, I got nothing else. I'm just kind of looking through the staff and everything, but it's, I mean, like, other than, like, naming, like, Andy Philpott, who did the voice of D from Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust, I mean, that's, and this was distributed by Urban Vision, same with Vampire Hunter D, so they must have just had, like, a contract to do that stuff. And this is based off a manga, by the way, that was published in 1991, written by Saki Okuse. I don't know, let's see what else this guy's done. Oh, wait, no, I don't need to go to internet IMDb to find this out. Alright, the manga. Let's check and see what else this Saki guy has done. Manga titles include Gilgamesh. Oh, he was part of Gilgamesh TV as a character conceptual designer. And he worked on something else called Ghost Talker Daydream and Bloodsucker Legend of Zipangu manga.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with any of that.
Nope, me either. I've heard of Gilgamesh. Again, heard, but that's about it. So yeah. I don't know how many. There's only one volume of it. That's kind of I don't know how well it sold in Japan enough to make an OVA adaptation. And this is well after the 80s, so it wasn't like, you know, you put out like a mediocre manga and then like somebody in animation studio is like, hey, we got like, you know, an option to do an anime about this. And they're like, yeah, sure, let's go ahead and do it since we got nothing else to do.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe someone at Madhouse liked it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's... Some of the stuff that gets made on OVAs is kind of like, you know, like, out of everything that you pick, you had to pick that one.
Yeah, well, I guess since it's just one episode, it's easier to get that produced than a TV series.
Yeah. Well, the guy who did character design on this is, Hisashi Abe. He did character design for Chobits. Let's see what we got here. Character design for that Devil May Cry TV series. He directed some episodes of Devil Hunter Yoko. Let's see. Did character design for Gunslinger Girl. Oh, he did character design for Highlander The Search for Vengeance Kawajiri movie.
Oh, the one that was on Sci-Fi Channel?
Yeah, long ago. We need to get around to reviewing that eventually. Well, yeah. Speaking of JoJo's, he was an animation director for one episode of the Stardust Crusaders plot. So, he was an assistant animation director for one episode on Parasite the Maximum. So this guy gets work.
The new show on Toonami, yeah.
Yeah. Did character design for the Wolverine anime TV series by Madhouse. So this guy basically just does stuff for Madhouse.
Hmm. So Parasite is also by Madhouse.
I guess so. I would assume so.
It's interesting how it's an old manga, but they've added in some stuff to the anime, like smartphones and computers and stuff.
Well, how old is the manga?
It's from like the late 80s, early 90s. Because it's come out 3 times in the U.S. I saw Josh posted in the chat. He said it was Tokyo Pop, then... Del Rey and then Kodansha, I think we're the three. So it must be pretty popular for it to.
Yeah, well, it's got 10 Tokubon issues and a total of 220 pages, and they came out between 1990 and 1995.
Yeah.
And okay, so it's been released by Tokyo Pop, and then Del Rey and Kodansha Comics. I wonder when Tokyo Pop put this out, because I do not remember this.
Yeah, I didn't know it had come out until this anime started airing. I'd never heard of it. I mean,
yeah, me either. I mean,
I guess it's one of Sentai's biggest series, though, because it's the second one they put on there after Akame ga Kill, which was also pretty big. They'll probably put Rene on there at some point, and maybe Log Horizon, since that's the other kind of SAO dot hack kind of anime that's come out recently that they have.
Okay.
And that stuff seems to be always picked up by Cartoon Network. For whatever reason, they got dot hack Sign, then dot hack Legend of the Twilight Bracelet, then dot hack Roots. Even though most of them, they only ended up airing at like 5 a.m. So I guess they just can't resist licensing that kind of stuff. And SAO actually somehow does well in the ratings.
I don't know if that's not surprising or not. I mean, like, I'll say this much. All right, I guess we'll just have our Toonami talk now, since we haven't really recorded. But, like...
There's nothing worse than watching a bunch of anime dorks clap at a trailer.
Yeah, I've never understood that. I could flip out if they were like, from a mining expedition in Deli East Timor... That's been conducted for the past 30 years. We managed to dig up a ancient text of Fist of the North Star that we're bringing out to you today at this very moment, and we're going to show it in its entirety right now, and everybody gets free snacks.
Wait, Dave, are you sure you'd be clapping, or would you be beating the crap out of the fat dude next to you in a sailor hat? Because that's what I'd be doing. I'd be like, I love Fist of the North Star, fatty. Tell me how much you love it. Take off this stupid hat.
Dave and Joel's Best Karate for the Gentleman.
The anime podcast for people who don't like anime.
Or podcasts.
find us online at www.daveandjoel.com.
My nephew, like the Power Rangers, and I did this on his birthday where he had all his friends around. They were like, Green Ranger. I said, let me show you the real Sentai. I'm going to show you the episode where Green Ranger actually died. And they were sitting there looking. A couple kids start crying like, oh, Green Ranger can't be daddy. And the parents were like, what are you showing our kids?
The Anime World Order Podcast.
Not suitable for children because the truth hurts.
Visit us online at www.animeworldorder.com.
There were just a ton of furries at this thing.
They dare to dream.
So let's say tomorrow they come up with gene splicing technology that they can give you the features of an animal. That's not going to work.
Don't tell me what I can't do, Kevin, with your pseudoscience. That science may be your opinion, that may be the science that you believe, but I'm over here with people who believe that vaccinations are toxins.
So, you're a jellyfish, you have nematocysts on your hand. So when you go to hand someone change at the McDonald's, what have you just done to that poor cashier?
Even if I do kill them, society can't judge me because that's who I am inside.
This is like me saying, I'm just gonna stand here and swing a spiked chain around my head, this is part of who I am.
I was born this way. You can't judge.
Yes, I can.
That's what I am. How dare you?
You can call me a GTO because I am the judge.
The Method to Madness podcast with Sean Ryan and Kevin Gray. Find them on iTunes and alphacounter.com.
Hey. I watched Naruto on the TV. I'm an anime fan just like you.
Get out of here. Naruto is entry-level weeaboo crap. Smells as bad as your face. I'm Rhea One.
If y'all think that Microsoft Mike was tripping, and you agree with Microsoft Crystal like the champagne, then y'all should listen to the Daily Anime Podcast. So head on over to dailyanimepodcast.com and give it a listen, because we might not actually be daily, but we're the realest podcast there is when it comes to this anime nonsense.
This pat, like when the last the SAO2 that they showed on Toonami, it did not disgust me as much as the first season.
Yeah, it's not quite as bad.
I was kind of surprised, actually. I thought it was going to be worse.
Yeah.
But you saw like fansub when it was coming out, right? Like you and Daft did.
I think I was downloading the official subs, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We did watch it when it was first coming out. It could have been worse. At least there was no tentacle rape or anything, or the incest plot was not as prevalent.
It had like that stupid thing where like I got my little sister as a webcam on my shoulder that looks like a black. It's like a tacky GoPro. So that just rest on your shoulders the entire time?
She brings it
to class, and everyone's like, "Whoa, that's your friend in there! Oh, it's so awesome!" I'm like, that is the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
they wouldn't have been acting like that if it was any school other than the school for the SAO survivors, you know? Any other school, they would have, like, punched it off her shoulder or something. I'm thinking of American schools. Probably they're too polite in Japan to do that, but
yeah.
She would get beaten up for bringing that to school.
Their punishment is they shun them out of their social circles. That's how they do it. American schools is like you take it and you basically play keep away from it and throw it in the trash or something.
It reminds me of when I was in high school. This Asian girl in my class, her pencil case got put in the tarantula cage in science class. There was a pet tarantula that had been captured outside or something.
She school?
Well, the teacher had one that she caught in the playground because they're kept, you know, being these dangerous bugs that would appear on the playground there. And I guess they made it to be the school pet or whatever, and then the girl's pencil case, which people were always playing keep away with from her, got put in the cage with this thing.
Oh man, I mean, I'm chuckling, but I'm at the same time. I was like, no, we got to be polite. Actually, it's kind of funny, but I mean, did she get it back?
Yeah, I think we got it out, and it was fine.
You just get a stick and just move the tarantula away from the book, and then you get it. I mean, dude, I mean, I've had like a binder taken from me for like a day or so in like ninth grade by these two guys I made the biggest deal about, and they're like, no, we didn't take it. I'm just like, I'm not putting up with this. Whatever, I can live without it for a day. And then like they was like, oh, it's magically in your bag somehow, and I'm like, F you two assholes. I think one of them was Jeff and the other guy was, I can't remember his name. I think the kid that was part of it, I remember like messing up his shoulder, his elbow cap or something when we were doing arm wrestling one time. Like it messed it up or something.
So he held a grudge and stole your binder?
I don't know if he held a grudge. I mean, I did say I was sorry. But, like, it's not my fault that he was, like, trying to arm wrestle me with a busted elbow. And then he's just like, oh, man, I thought I could do it. And then, dude, school just, like, breeds jerks.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. You just, like, you're either part of the system or you just try to, like, survive it or fight back.
Well, how do you like your current school?
Oh, and my college?
Yeah.
I mean, no, none of that high school crap happens in college.
Yeah. It is nice to, I mean, not be in a high school setting anymore, I'll say that. I don't miss that period of my life.
Yeah, I think, like, college and high school are, like, two opposite ends, it seems. Like, you figured, okay, well, these guys that are, like, the jerks or whatever, you know, they're bound to go to college, and then like, you go to college, and like, I guess they find creative ways to, like, not be jerks as much. Unless they're like in a fraternity or something, but like most, like if you're the nerd, like you have your nerd clique there, and it's like that's celebrated basically to be like a hipster D-bag or something. Where like in high school, you get your butt kicked for that.
Well, I mean, like people who go to high school, a lot of them don't go to college, but they're always trying to get more and more people to go to college. Now Obama has this free community college proposal that he's trying to get through, and I mean, it seems to me like the more you flood the college system, the less these degrees are going to be worth, and a lot of people are not going to be able to get the degrees to begin with, so it's just a waste of time to encourage them to go if their grades were not good enough that have gone to begin with.
Sounds like No Child Left Behind Act all over again.
Yeah, and that it's a big waste of money that won't accomplish anything.
Yeah, really.
Or Common Core, for that matter, is not much better.
Oh, gosh. No, it's not.
As much as Jeb Bush will defend it. Or Obama.
Well, we're definitely done talking about Twilight of the Dark Master. I think we've been at that point for, what, 10 minutes?
Yeah. So I guess it's time for closing remarks, or?
Yeah, I think we got a lot. I mean, a lot happened in the past month. I don't know what you had for closing remarks, but I mean, like, there was once again another school shooting. And, man, I thought there was a bunch of, I mean, like, I'm still playing Metal Gear Solid 5. I'm like 31% done with that game because I play it whenever I can. And, the Star Wars Battlefront beta came out this weekend. And, I mean, I got some stuff I could say about that too.
Oh, is that the one you were talking about with VQ in the chat?
Yeah, and then I posted up a Kotaku article where people took like YouTube clips of like their moments in the game, and the best one of the best ones was like someone like you can be as a. There's power ups in like the level, like in the Hoth battle or whatever, and so like once you get the power ups because they come up randomly or whatever, that you basically can like either become like do a like TIE Fighter X-Wing or you can be like Luke or Vader. And there was somebody that was trying to like take on Luke since they're an Imperial Stormtrooper, and Luke was coming towards them, except the person playing Luke didn't know how close he was to the AT-AT, and the AT-AT stomped right on him. killing Luke, and then add insult to injury, like the guy was going to go for the check on the corpse, and then the other leg behind it squishes it again. I had a good lull. And then there's another, there's like a little like scammer, like you have to like defend these pods or something as another part of the game. And someone was playing it, and it was like they looked up in the sky, and the pod crashed directly on them, killing them instantly. I was like, you know, I think that might be the right way to play the game. I had to find that Kotaku article for show notes, obviously. So, but no, Vico and I were talking about the people on GameFAQs that were like, oh man, they're really taking like the weapon physics from like the Battlefield games, like especially like laser drop, which they think lasers work the same way as bullets, as in like you shoot one and gravity takes over the laser and like causes it to arc and everything. And I hate to say it, but yeah, there is a laser drop in this. Lasers don't just shoot straight, because you figure they're made of light and light travels in one direction until you decide to move it from the source. But I don't know, unless it's just like some sort of heated gas or something. I don't know, but like sort of these special weapons, and one of them is like the sandcrawlers, like hunting rifles, and use those as a, you know, sniper rifle or whatever. But that one definitely has like a bullet drop physics or whatever. So it's kind of like a giant musket in a way. But I mean, like I play it for a little bit, and then I realize it's like, okay, it's fun for a little while, then I have to just take a break from it.
And yeah, that's probably a good approach to keeping it entertaining for longer term.
Yeah, and like they only have like an upgrade level cap to level 5, so like you're able to get like a jetpack and like the MG42 laser machine gun or something they have in the game. And I got to that point, so I'm just like basically getting credits and stuff to buy like a jetpack if I wanted to. But I mean, without that like incentive to like keep going and just collect items, and then it's just like, all right, well, this is just I'm playing it either just to like kill time, or I'm playing it just to see what stupid stuff can happen in Star Wars when I play it.
So this was considered a LucasArts game still, even though they fired the development team, right? They just kind of got the name.
Yeah, it's got the Lucas. Well, there's still like some people left in the development team, but LucasArts name is still on it. But it's created by DICE, the people who do the Battlefield games, which is like, because once I know that they're behind it, it's like, okay, well, you know, people like the Battlefield games, and they're obviously going to buy this. I think regardless if they're Star Wars or Battlefield fans. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, the beta is just there just to be like, okay, here's how far the game has gotten. It comes out in about a month, a little over a month. So you guys can try it out and just let us know what you think. But, it's the minimum RAM on that for my computer to run it is like 8 gigs. So like when I run the levels, it's fine. But like in terms of processing the, like my score and everything, it takes like, it'll like my computer will completely like almost freeze up doing it. And I'm like, well, it's still in beta, so there's still some stuff to test out, so I don't know if I need to upgrade my RAM or not.
But yeah, hopefully they fix that.
I might as well upgrade it if I'm going to buy the game, which I've thought about, but it's like I played the beta, but I'm like, well, it's not finished, so they can still add more stuff to it.
Yeah. I'm sure they're trying to take some feedback from the beta. Maybe they'll address the laser drop or whatever.
They'll probably keep that in. I don't know. But it was the fact that someone like on GameFAQs mentioned it, like they knew whatever they were talking about, and Viku was just like, wow, what an idiot.
Oh, yeah, he was making fun of them. But then later on, he said that he agreed with them that the game was too simple and that the game was not as good as it should have been and everything.
It's the fact it's a beta. Like, you're only playing 2 levels or, like, maybe 3 modes or something of gameplay. Like, there's not a lot there for right now. There's still all these locked areas that you can do. I think there's, like, more to it, but, like, in terms of, like, how the gameplay is, like, you're getting the aspect of that just to get the feel for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like getting a car, but you're on a closed track. You're basically driving the car to feel how the car feels. So That's kind of what the beta is there for. Like, it's not a complete freaking game.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll make it better.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of games, how far did you get on Magic Knight Rayearth for the Saturn?
Oh, I played it for about 2 hours before my TV started having issues, and basically, I got to the first boss battle where you battle the dog and the parents and the clone of yourself.
Oh, is that like you walk in a mirror or something like that? And yeah. It's like, yeah, I remember that.
And then I went back into the forest and I saved and quit. Because I have to go back to the girl in the castle that gave me the little Furby kind of creature.
Okay. Yeah, I played that game about 10 years ago, to be honest. I'm interesting enough, like, I got the game from somebody I knew from my church, because I got like a handful of Saturn games, way less than I could have sold them on eBay at the time. And I didn't think I knew about Magic Knight Rayearth, but I just got it. So I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And then, you know, obviously got that because I knew it was a collectible game.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting enough, like the apartment building next door to me, I was actually down in one of those apartments there, and I was there for a week, and all I did basically was when my dad worked, I'd stay inside and play this game. So, like, I basically beat it within a week. And it took about maybe 10 or 12 hours to beat.
Yeah, but I saw on YouTube there's, like, a playthrough that's about 8 hours or so.
Yeah, it's a very linear RPG game, but it's still fun. And it's basically based off the plot for the TV series.
I noticed that the game has cutscenes and everything, but, you know, a lot of it is just dialogue where you have to press A over and over. But, yeah, it is very linear, but it seems like the story is interesting enough, and the character designs and the animated scenes are pretty good, so...
Oh, I mean, I understand JRPGs have that. My one big issue and flaw with it is way too much freaking text. But, like, I know with Rayearth, it was like, if there's text, it doesn't last, like, a long period of time where it started to annoy me. Because I was, like, already liking the game when I played it.
Oh, really? Maybe it lightens up on that a little later, but it seemed like there was a lot at the beginning.
I think the last game I literally just stopped playing. Because it was literally, I felt like it was about an hour and a half of me just hitting the X button through text. Walls and walls of text.
Licking.
And that was at... It was that Sakura Wars So Long My Love game for the PS2 that came out here.
Oh.
I was like, I love Sakura Wars. I got the OVA series. I actually liked it. I've got the TV series on DVD that's still sealed from Best Buy. But I was like, okay, cool. And then I got like the collector's thing with the soundtrack and the map and whatever. And I played it when I was about to start college because I got fired from that my call center job. This was like, yeah, 4 years ago. And literally, I popped it in, and I was just, like, hitting X and just continued to hit X. And I'm like, am I ever going to play this game? And it was just nothing but text and text and text about, like, character – this necessary character development. I think I might have moved down, like, one block of the endgame street to go for more dialogue. And after an hour, I said, I can't do this anymore. And I took the game out, and I haven't touched it since. I don't know why I still own it. I guess it's collectible or something. I'm like, well, maybe I'll get back to it one day. I'm like, what's there to get back to? More text?
Yeah, they can really go overboard with that. I mean, I try to get into it, but, you know, sometimes it can really be dragged out much longer than it needs to be.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Rayearth has this interesting game mechanic where you have three characters walking around, each with their own HP and SP, and you can switch between them, and they can do different attacks. I noticed that enemies don't seem to have health bars or anything. It's, I guess, less of a turn-based RPG, more of a real-time combat or...
Yeah, but, what made the game easy is the fact that there's really no point in grinding. Like, the area that you get to, the enemies are, like, a little bit lower than the level that you're at, so at least you can continue with the game. Yeah, granted, there is some challenge, like, it's sort of challenging, but it's like, I don't remember dying, like, a lot when I played that game. It was like, I got through it, but it was a good balance of, like, I didn't feel like it was way too easy, and I didn't feel like it was way too hard. It was that nice balance where, like, I'm still going through the story. It's a little bit challenging, but that doesn't, like, tick me off and wants me to, like, stop playing it or something, so...
Yeah, it seemed reasonable enough. One of my characters died on the way through the forest, but you can just switch to the other ones. You don't have to start at the beginning or whatever, which I thought was nice. And then I just was using the green one who you can shoot arrows with, so it's a little easier. The enemies can't come jumping into you or whatever as much as with the other characters.
Oh, nice.
The enemies, there are only like two of them so far, but other than the bosses. But it's like this little circle that flies around on the screen, and then you shoot it, and then it gets big and becomes an eye, and then you have to shoot it three more times.
Okay.
And then there's just like some little worms that you can just hit a couple times, and then they die.
Okay.
But I'm sure there's going to be more types of enemies later on that are introduced. Because yeah, they had just gotten their armor and stuff, so it seemed like it was really just starting. But then yeah, I watched the Day After Tomorrow, and my TV started to go out during that, and it's still not been fixed or replaced or anything. I've got kind of like a backup TV that I'm using, but it has issues too. It keeps turning itself off randomly when I try to watch TV, so that's annoying.
I just remember you telling me that in the chat that, like, Day After Tomorrow killed your TV. I was just like, man, I didn't think of that movie. I mean, like, I went and saw that movie in theaters when I was in high school. And, like, I thought it was okay, but
it
I didn't think
my
it was
going
to kill your TV, literally.
My TV was causing global warming. It had to be stopped.
No, I was going to say with Ray Earth was the fact that, like, I know there's, like, mechs in it or robots or whatever, and I believe... Yeah, oh. I do remember, like, you powered up or used those, like, towards the end of the game.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was going to become a mecha game.
Yeah, I had to think. I was like, yeah, there is mechs in Ray Earth.
But have you seen the anime?
I've seen 5 episodes of the anime because I remember I got back from when I was in South Carolina that week when I played it, and I remember downloading it. And I got to, like, the 4th or 5th episode, and then I just kind of stopped thereafter.
Yeah, I haven't really seen much Clamp anime. I saw part of Code Geass when it was on Adult Swim, like, the first 13 episodes or so. And I saw Cardcaptors on Kids TV when I was a kid.
I didn't see a lot of either of those shows.
Yeah, so. And then I saw those... What was it? Tokyo Babylon, I think, and X, a few years ago.
I do have Tokyo Babylon on DVD.
Yeah, and that's about it for them. I haven't seen Tsubasa Reservoir Chronicles or whatever their other series are.
Ugh. It seems like X is like their main series known by anime fans. Like,
oh, that's right. There's also a TV series of X. I've only seen the OVA.
Yeah, I know that Kawajiri directed the TV series is what I heard.
Yeah, I kind of want to see that and see if it makes more sense.
I know that it was on Netflix at one point, but I didn't get around to watching it.
Oh, it's gone now?
It's been gone for like a good while.
Okay. Okay, so I guess for my closing remark,
yeah,
I'm going to read some Love That Goku tweets. They're from like 2 months ago, but they're ones I skipped over last time. Life is not very good. How did I get here? Wendell, my foster mom, says, I'm going to help you discover inner peace, Christian. And I tell her, well, I'm going to burn down the group home. I have severed all ties with Dennis and the rest of the LARP team. Good riddance. They never deserved me. With Shenron as my witness, I'm going to get out of this group home, and the best anyone can do is hope that no one gets hurt in the process. I'm sorry for my anger. I'm not mad at you guys. I am mad at the situation, and at Wendell, and Dennis, and the foster care system, and still the cops. The other boys in the group home invade my space and take my DBZ figures and arrange them in a way such as that it looks like they're having sex. One boy, Dante, made it look like my Goku figure was having sex with my Piccolo. I nearly had a heart attack upon the very sight. I struck Dante with a back fist and Wendell grounded me. That is what I get for standing up for myself and defending Goku and Piccolo's honor. Wendell, my foster mom, tells me, you're a good boy, but you need to rise above your violence. I told her, rise above this and kick the plants over. Is Blues Traveler still on here? I need to blow off some steam. And then he hasn't tweeted in 2 months since then. He only came back very briefly.
Oh, man. Oh, speaking of people that you told me recently, like in terms of going places, how is in a psycho ward. Am I allowed to say her name on this podcast, or is she still going to be like sketchy that like, oh no, people know who I am?
Oh yeah, probably don't include that in the final version, but yeah, we can talk about it.
We'll just say K.
Okay, well, anyway, what happened is, I don't know the details, but she said she couldn't take it anymore, and she broke up with and went into a mental hospital.
And she's been there, like, what, 2 months or something, or a few weeks?
Sorry, I was distracted by my dog. Yeah, she was in there for a couple weeks, and then she got out, and now she's staying with some friends.
Okay.
But yeah, she moved there to be with him, so I don't know if she's gonna move back to Wisconsin or, stick around in Pennsylvania. She said she's gonna apply for disability.
Disability for what? Her mental issues?
I think so, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, she should have been in an asylum long ago.
Right.
Let's be real.
She, like, seemed to be an expert on the subject. She was always advising CG to check in and stuff, but I think her issues are greater than CG's, even.
Yeah, I mean, she went out, I mean, her and that guy dated for, like, a while. Like, what, a couple of years or something?
It was longer
and
than
they lived together.
It was longer than it lasted with, I think, a factor of two. But anyway, they're now back in contact for the first time in a few years. Her and she said she got drunk and texted him. So I don't know if she's like missing him now.
Wait. She got drunk and started texting him?
Yes.
Man, you hooked up with that girl.
Well, the text seemed innocuous enough, but I don't know where it's leading. Like, she sent them to
me.
Wait,
did she share you the text messages?
Yeah, you want me to read them?
Go ahead. I mean, like, I'm taking her name out of this anyways. In case she wanted to, oh, I wonder what Twilight of the Dark Master is like, followed by closing remarks.
She does do that kind of stuff. She tracked down, like, the podcast of that he was on his local comic book stores. And, like, listened to it and was, like, criticizing everything he said or whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
So, like, I'm serious, you should edit it out in case she does. I don't know how much she's following me, but.
I'm taking her name out of this so that no one knows.
So I found. Off.
But then you're saying that she's, like, taking classes at Liberty University online or something?
Well, she was. I don't know if she's stopped because of this mental health thing, I would expect. But she was almost had enough to graduate, but she has not, as far as I know, graduated yet. She was going to go into, like, seminary or something, I thought, but...
Oh, okay.
But, you know, I just don't... I don't mean to sound insulting or whatever, but I don't think I can think of any church that would really accept someone with her background, you know? Don't they want someone who is more psychologically stable or more conservative socially?
There's the Pentecostals for you. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, they have a church right by my house. It's at, like, the strip mall that I walk my dog by, the Pentecostals, and it's very loud every weekend there. It's like a Hispanic one, but they have, like, music playing very loudly in there all the time. And aren't Pentecostals also the ones who speak with snakes in their churches and stuff?
Some. I don't think it's all of them.
Yeah, I don't think they do that here. I've never seen any snakes being transported in or out, but that's just the reputation that they have.
That reputation's more like testing God. It's like you hold up snakes and be like, oh, I'm testing God's spirit because the snake won't bite me. It's like, dude, you don't want to F with that at all. And they wind up getting bitten and die eventually, so...
Apparently, it's God's will for the dumber members of the species to be killed by snakes.
Oh, I can agree with that. It's the fact that they take one thing out of the Bible where Paul got bit by a snake or a viper and threw it, you know, cast it away.
And they think he
survived it and thought nothing of it. And they're like, oh, well, if you can do that because he's super Christian, then we can too. I'm like, look, God made sure Paul survived that for a reason. It doesn't mean it's going to apply to everyone.
Yeah, it seems like it's a bit much for them to assume that there's some sort of modern-day Paul that God is really going to protect them from anything.
No, that's a whole other conversation right there. But
yeah. Anyway, was there anything else you wanted to know about the whole... thing, or
I guess that's about it. I mean, I might even just take out this whole thing on the call or something.
I'm pretty sure she'd be able to tell who we're talking about.
Yeah, some of this is way too personal for other people not to know about this. So.
Oh, it is too personal, yeah.
Yeah, you're just kind of telling me stuff, and I'm just like, all right, well, maybe I don't need to add everything, but.
There is a good Chris Chan post, too, that I'm going to read.
I was gonna ask about Chris Chan, so.
Have you seen this one? The title on the wiki forum is Fan Spooks Chris. Chris gives fucky finger.
No, tell me.
Okay, this one's good. I'm typing this up right now to make a valid point. I was out shopping a bit, and there was rain and distant lightning spooking me. Out of nowhere, just as I was getting out of my car, someone from a red car shouts, I love you, Chris Chan. It spooks the crap out of me. I already had a lot on my mind, and I did not care for the loud surprise, and after 5 seconds, because I felt offense at being shocked and the scare, I gave the finger as I was going into the store. Well, I realize it was wrong of me to give the bird, it does stand that while other people do have other things going on in their minds at the time, no one should ever shout at a person unexpectedly without a greeting prior. Had I have the warning, the verbal gesture could have received a more positive, less offensive response. I apologize to that person in the red car for giving the bird in response.
Are you apologizing on the internet without telling them? Or did you actually go over to them and apologize, Chris? There's a huge difference between the two.
Knowing huge Chris's difference. Fans, I'm pretty sure that they would have gone on the quickie afterwards and read it. But still.
Because it's like, well, they check on me all the time anyway, so if I apologize, they'll find out.
He thinks, like, his Facebook is, you know, his bully pulpit to the world. Like, he's Obama walking out to the podium to make a speech after the gun massacre. Everyone's awaiting his comments, you know, and he's going to shape the world with his pronouncements about his amiibos and comic books, and millions of people will be listening.
The thing is, about a quarter of that are listening. That's the sad part.
There are people who are going to buy these new ridiculous amiibos he's announced of Mary Lee Walsh and Count Graduon.
Wait, is this the Mary Lee Walsh design from the Sonichu, the animated series?
Well, it's the design from the Sonichu comic books. I haven't seen the animated series. Did they change it?
Well, it's Mary Lee Walsh is like a short, blonde-haired, big boob chick with like a devil tail coming out of her.
Well, in the comics, she's like, the real Mary Lee Walsh is some college staff member that suspended him from school for a year for the attraction sign.
Yeah.
And then he made her into like some sort of witch or whatever that I think is modeled after maybe Queen Beryl from Sailor Moon, because he's always you know, ripping off Sailor Moon and his early comic books. And then later on, after he sent an apology to her for including her in his comics, he did a retcon and made it so that she's called Slawheel Ryam, which is what she's called now, which is, I guess, an anagram of Mary Lee Walsh. And that's what the Amoeba is technically called. But that's such a terrible name that I prefer to just continue saying Mary Lee Walsh. I mean, Slawheel Ryam is almost as bad as the evil homosexual version of Chris called, I think Nate Turk is how it's said, but it's just Christian backwards. He thinks that rearranging letters is really clever.
It's like Red Rum, only not.
Yeah, no
it's
one
like
is.
It's like I'm spelling race car, but it's not.
He must have really thought she is a moron if she would not realize that it was her after he renamed the character, you know? Especially since she's already aware of the comics and that the character used to be her.
Oh, man.
The funniest thing is that after he apologized to her, she sent a restraining order to his house because he had delivered the apology in person to her office. Many of these people don't want Chris's apology or anything else to do with him.
They just don't want him to be in their space of existence.
Yeah, and that's also the case for Michael Snyder, I'm sure. He'd probably sleep better never seeing Chris again, as would we all. Did you see the Sonichu comic that got released during our previous recording?
I haven't read any of those comics.
Oh, really?
Other than just a couple of the images. I assume you've read it, because
That's
how much free time you have.
It's pretty funny. The best part is Black Sonichu ranting about how much he hates Kwanzaa. I don't know if I read. I probably posted that in the chat, but
I don't know if I saw that or not.
All right, I'll read off the anti Kwanzaa speech, and then that'll be the last of the closing remarks, I think.
Okay.
There's a bunch of really autistic stuff here, and then Black Sonichu. Okay, Black Sonichu is walking by this random black guy, and he says, "Happy Kwanzaa, brother." And then Black Sonichu, he gets one of those little anime rage marks where their, I guess, skin is getting bunched up from fury, and he says, "Again? How many times must I be mistook for African American? I'm black only by a genetic accident. I have nothing against the holiday and the people and their heritage, but come on, does my fur look like sunburn color? Heck no."
Oh my gosh.
And then his blue hedgehog character Bubbles tells him, "Blake, stand down." He used to be called Black Sonichu, but then they got changed to Blake because Black Sonichu was considered too racist, I guess.
For who? The people reading the... As if Sonichu isn't, like, offensive enough as it is. Oh, man, we call it this one a Black Sonichu. That's just crossing that line, that point of no return. And then you look back and you realize that it's way, way, way off in the distance and you should have turned back eons ago.
Everyone was upset and they were like, "Why is the evil Sonichu the one called Black Sonichu? Are you saying black people are evil?"
Oh, is this politically correct people?
Because back then Chris was not a social justice warrior like he is now. So he was well known for hating homosexuals, blacks, etc., etc., smokers, drinkers, drug users.
So this was like, I guess, maybe hate to say it, but like the better part of Chris's life when he hated those people?
Well, this was when Chris used to wear the blue and red shirt and the Sonichu medallion and get in arguments over who was the real Chris with Liquid Chris. You know, this was like the peak period of Chris Chan trolling before he became transgender, which he is now.
Oh, I speaking of politically correct people, I saw that episode of the season of South Park where they got PC principal and they replaced the woman principal that they got. And oh. So like it's I don't know, have you seen that one yet?
No, is it the new season? The one I heard about from the new season was Trump getting raped to death.
I think it's the episode before that. I haven't seen that one.
Oh. Okay.
But like this one they got a principal to replace Principal Victoria. And it's a huge satire on like the whole Gamergate social justice warriors thing because they got somebody called PC Principal. And everything about like being politically correct, it comes out of his mouth, but it's like in the tone of because he's modeled after like a frat boy.
Mm-hmm.
And like it's like a frat boy douchebag, like the kind of person like no one likes at all. And like they model these PC people of like after frat boys. And there's this, and it's basically like parroting on the whole debate on like Bruce Jenner or Caitlyn Jenner, you should say.
Oh.
And well, I should say now, but and then they're like in this bar or whatever, and then Randy's just like, "No, I don't like Bruce Jenner. Like it's Caitlyn Jenner, and she's a beautiful woman, and all this other stuff." And then like these frat boys show up, and they're like, "Yo, dude, that ain't PC like." And the dude's like, "You PC? Yeah, bro, I'm PC." I'm PC from Ohio State. I'm PC, bro, from Arizona State, bro. As soon as I heard Arizona State, I started laughing. I was like, John, you went to that school. What can you say about the PC bros at Arizona State?
Not much. I mean, of course, the professors are very PC, but the student body didn't seem too bad about that. I mean, there was no... the controversy that I saw, like, for example, at Brown, where they had to provide a so-called safe room for the social justice warriors that get offended by alternative points of view, where they have, like, cookies and milk and coloring books and trauma experts and blankets to comfort them after they've heard an opposing viewpoint on campus events.
Dude, what... the fuck?
I mean,
wait. This is at a real university that they're treating adults or quote unquote should be adults as children when they get offended.
Right at Brown, which is one of the big Ivy League schools, you know, in Rhode Island, you have to get a really high GPA there and everything. But these people, you know, maybe they're good at studying, but they have no experience with exposure to any point of view other than
they have no their social own. Skills.
Right. I mean, and this has happened time and time again where people get invited to attend and then someone digs up a comment they made saying that they don't believe that Bruce Jenner is really a woman or that they don't believe in gay marriage or whatever. And then they get disinvited and or else they get this ridiculous amount of accommodation for the people who are offended. And a lot of the time they say something like, oh, we can't have you anymore because we've reviewed the comments that have been sent by the social justice warriors, and they say that you are a threat to their safety and that you being invited would send a message of misogyny and homophobia that would show that our students are not all welcome here. And, you know, these people have it down to a science, knowing how to petition whenever anyone says anything that hurts their feelings, they can get them disinvited now, it seems like, at tons of universities now. It's kind of unbelievable that, you know, the university used to be this place where you're supposed to be able to be exposed to lots of different points of view and open your mind.
Have rhetorical discussions about them.
Right.
Strengthen your own opinion and your own beliefs because you're, you know, rubbing shoulders against someone else that has a different belief, but then only it validates yours because, you know, you're strengthening your points of view against theirs. And you might be able to become good friends from that or good rhetors or whatever. But this is ridiculous. Like, it's a society where, like, it's wrong to defend yourself.
and it's impossible to keep up and predict what position you're supposed to take from one day to the next with political correctness, because, for example, the Rachel Dolezal thing, I don't know if I'm saying the name right, but, you know, how are you supposed to predict what stance you're supposed to take on that? I mean, on the one side, everybody's supposed to respect the self-identification of everybody else, and if you say anything else, you're misgendering or misracing them and committing some sort of microaggression hate crime. But if you say that they are black, then, you know, the other politically correct group, the Black Lives Matter people, comes after you and says, well, you're undermining the real struggles of real black people, because if you were really black, you would have been killed by George Zimmerman by now or something, you know.
That doesn't make any sense.
Right, but they'll say it anyway, because, you know, that even if they, you know, make some effort to look black or whatever, I guess they still can't have a real black experience like someone who's genetically African. But, I mean, there are so many different politically correct groups that it's impossible to walk on eggshells and avoid offending all of them. But if you don't do that, then you have no space in, like, modern American discussion, because the social justice warriors are so hell-bent on finding any dissent on any issue that they, you know, that they shame all sorts of people out of speaking at these schools now.
Well, there's also the thing that, speaking of current events that happened, that I think it was the end of September, where Anita Sarkeesian and Zoe Quinn were at the UN basically talking about a way to prevent cyberbullying and misogyny against women on the internet. It's trying to make it as some main rule or something, which they're trying to police the internet so you don't offend people. However, you get people like the guy who did the school shooting in Oregon that went online and told everyone what he was going to do, and no one stopped him.
Right.
We don't have any kind of security. We're throwing money away towards a securities program that's supposed to, the NSA, that's supposed to, like, watch out the things to protect our country, when we can't even protect our own selves in this country.
Right. Well, when it comes to stuff like that, I would just say people should not be free riders and just assume that everybody else is going to take care of these problems. You know, there's a reason there's the saying, if you see something, say something. I don't regret at all reporting J-Kun when he said he was going to do Columbine 2.0. I mean, if somebody's saying stuff like that, you should take it seriously, because it's happened before, and every time people have said, well, I didn't really think they could do it, you know, because no one ever assumes that someone they know could be crazy and could kill somebody. But the potential for madness is, you know, something that can't be easily identified. But if somebody's saying that they're about to kill a bunch of people, that's probably a good way to identify it, you know. Maybe a sane person doesn't post saying they're going to do Columbine 2.0 or post videos of themselves shooting people in the case of that Virginia guy that killed the TV anchor. I mean, a lot of the times you have to take this stuff seriously. There are times when it does get caught, though, like the Pokemon event, where there was some guy that posted saying he was going to take out the competition and brought a couple of guns in there.
Yeah, he snuck them in like the tin boxes or something. I heard about that.
Yeah, and they were like on the back of his car at one point, too. There's like a picture of it. But he ended up getting arrested because somebody saw this and sent it to the police. You know, of course, what you should do in a circumstance like that. I mean, it's not like Minority Report, where you're, you know, sensing the future with your psychic powers or whatever. You're just seeing what people say they're going to do and reporting it. You know, a lot of these people are so starved for attention that they post about this in advance, hoping that they get stopped, probably. I mean, it's like a cry for attention, and half the time that fails, and then they end up killing a bunch of people and themselves. That's not the outcome you want. Even if you do wreck somebody's life, like J-Kun claims happened to him, it's better than a bunch of innocent people being killed because of his problems.
One life for the lives of many. This is kind of the thing where it's like, okay, so you have the people that are like, oh, nothing's going to happen, and then you get the other camp that's like, I don't trust anybody and everybody's crazy. And both sides are really dangerous. So you got to come together in the middle somewhere.
Right, I'm not saying we need to surveil everybody's, you know, everybody's Facebook posts, and we need a million NSA employees skulking over all our data to look for this stuff.
No,
because that doesn't work. You can't do that because there's so much data.
Here's what you do. If you know someone that's crazy, and you think they're going to do something like this, say something to them, ask them questions, care about them, give something of a crap about their life and their problems, and try to talk them out of it, or at least confirm that they're not going to do it in some way. And even if they do, still weigh on the air of caution until you know you're convinced they're stupid and crazy, not just going completely crazy.
Right. I mean,
now that is the problem. We're trying to put all this stuff on as a government thing when it's really a community thing. If you know somebody in your family or friend or whatever, you need to look out for them. The government can't do everything for you. Quit being entitled and living off the government, you bunch of lazy SOBs. Get up and do something for yourself. Go take care of the issue. You know someone's crazy? Again. Sorry. It's like, you know, again, like, you know, talk to them about it.
Right. I mean, when I was in high school at the Turk school, there was this guy who told me something. Well, he said this basically that he wanted to be the school shooter who killed the most people ever. At the time, I was like, what? Why are you saying that? You're crazy. You shouldn't be saying this at recess or whatever. But, you know, after that, I did try to be a friend to the guy, you know, just to try to make sure he stays on his meds and doesn't go crazy and does kill everybody, you know? It's best to look out for people if you think there might be something wrong, you know? I've been talking to her for years, even though she is nuts, because someone like that does need a friend, you know? If there is, you know, some danger to you from being involved with crazy people, you know, there is an advantage, too, which is that, you know, they could do something much worse if you don't try to keep them in line, you know, by...
Yeah.
Trying to, you know, if they do something too crazy, try to stop them. If they don't, just try to keep them, you know, trying to live a normal life.
Yeah, talk some common sense to them. Like, yeah, granted, we sat here and crapped on or trash talked or whatever, but it's like, you know, she knows us and she trusts you and you're the only person, maybe one of the few people that can actually talk to her and, you know, basically be there and be her support and being like, okay, you know, let's talk about your issue. Let's just air that out, and you know, you went to therapy and everything. But like, I'm a friend of you. Granted, you're crazy, but like, there's that trust there, where like you're gonna do the best. You're gonna be there for her best interest, even if she disagrees with you.
Right. I mean,
and the same thing with Jay-kun. Like you did. I mean, like the whole thing with the gun thing. It's like, could you really talk him out of it at the time? Probably not. And if he did the gun thing, it's like, instead of him looking at it and being like, wow, I was in a dark spot, I really screwed up, he's blaming his issue, and he's not taking any responsibility for himself, and wants to blame you and Cloud for it, and that's ridiculous.
Yeah, the most self-blame he's taken is he said something like, I wasn't perfect, which implies that he is perfect now. But it's...
Newsflash, genius, no one's perfect. No one will ever be perfect.
And especially not people who do... Especially not people who off. Post stuff like he does.
Yeah.
I mean, he posted some really nasty stuff to Cloud, saying that he was going to track down who employs him and tell them everything about him. And I mean, I don't think anyone would fire their employee for sending a message to their friend saying, hey, I think there's something the matter with this guy. He keeps posting about Columbine 2.0. Especially since Cloud was barely involved. And even Jay-kun admits this. He said something like, you're just an autistic sociopath or something. I can't remember what the term was. I can't remember the term exactly, but it was something like autistic sociopath that he called him. But it's really ridiculous to call Cloud, of all people, a sociopath. He's not at all a mean guy.
There's I can't see any tendencies on the chat room. Here's what Cloud does in the chat. He searches Twitter for some reason, posts up stuff about Twitter, says, heh, or LOL and tries to have a discussion about Power Rangers stuff. That's Cloud. That's all he does.
Yeah.
I don't see anything crazy about that.
He's a very mellow guy. He's not at all a sort of evil mastermind that Jae-kun thinks he is. All he does is post stuff about magical girls and Sentai and...
Precure and... Yeah.
Yeah, but he doesn't show any signs of about to kill a bunch of people like Jae-kun was, you know. There's just so many things he did that were...
Was he thinking of his brother when he did it, or was he thinking of a girl, or...
He was thinking about Fraulein Loof from Toon Zone.
What?
Yeah, he told her that. The kid had no idea how to interact with other people.
Of herself?
Well, she had, like, posted pictures of herself in the photo album, because that's what girls on Toon Zone would do. Like Curry and Spamantha and her.
Yeah, I remember those. Well, girls still do that to this day, but anyways.
On Toon Zone, there are still girls?
Well, I mean, like, in terms of females posting pictures about themselves for validation.
On the internet,
to have
yeah.
acceptance. On the internet and as a whole.
Yeah, right.
Yes. That's what they do. But yeah. Go ahead.
And it's not like other people hadn't reached out to him on those posts and asked, like, what's the deal? Because Cloud said something on one of the posts, are you going to get yourself arrested by doing this? And Jae-kun said, yeah, I am. And so when someone's already reached out and he's already confirmed that he's going to do it regardless of what they say, at that point it seemed definite to me that he was going to do something if I didn't stop him. And his excuse in the trial that they held at the school was, oh, well, I was just making a thoughtless comment, and it didn't mean anything. But how are people supposed to know that there's no meaning behind a statement? You know, everything is said for a reason.
You right? can't use that excuse anymore, not today. Not especially when school shootings and stuff like this happens all the time. That's on the news. And the news swallows it up, and then Obama once again has to go on the news and be like, all right, we're at this point again. I didn't want this to happen. Oh, look, another school shooting happened. We need to come together and figure this out. Yeah, no crap, Sherlock.
But, I mean, the thing is that the way I approached it, I think, is better than the way Obama approaches it, because Obama's approach is just take away guns from everybody, including people that would be able to use them to defend themselves against aggressors. Whereas I think the right way to deal with it is to deal with the shooter before they shoot somebody to try to, you know, not let this happen rather than just blaming the whole citizenry and passing these overly broad laws that are going to punish people who've done nothing wrong.
Yeah, he's painting the picture of the problem with a very broad brush when it's an individual problem with people.
And it won't work anyway. I mean, how many years have they been trying to prevent people from getting these dangerous weapons, and they've had background checks, and they neglect to get done, or they get a gun from a family member, or they get it at a gun show, or there's always some way of getting around this stuff. The laws that they have, even the strictest ones, don't work, because the places where they have the strictest gun laws, like D.C. and Detroit and Chicago, have the highest crime rates. And
because the criminals have the guns other than the police, because the criminals are the ones that are going to be using the guns.
Right. I had to do this study for this in school. Empirical Political Inquiry was a class. And I used these books, and they started... The teachers, to give an indication of how politically correct and Stalinist American campuses are, they complained and started saying these books aren't peer-reviewed, even though they're the main studies on gun control, because they don't come to the same conclusion that the teachers wanted, even though they were peer-reviewed. And I had to point this out to them, show them the specific page when I was doing the video recording that they demanded on this topic, where it shows University of Chicago Press, peer-reviewed, and it's just ridiculous that there's no dissent on this issue allowed at all, that you can't take a personal approach to trying to stop these people, or else you're some sort of hate criminal, and if you believe that people have a right to defend themselves, then you must want these killings to happen is the way it's characterized by the media, which is just ridiculous. You know, you just, you have to come up with a, an approach to this stuff that's different than the one that they've been trying for decades that hasn't been working. I mean, Columbine happened almost 20 years ago, right? And it's still happening, even though they had, they have been trying these same approaches to trying to stop it ever since, and it just isn't working. Anyway, I think we've set our bid on this topic.
Look, look, here's how you solve the problem. The United States has an open carry law. All 50 states. Everyone carries a gun. Government gives them a gun. So if someone tries to do something crazy, there's the other, you know, there's 10 people in the room, one crazy person, the other 9 people can go over there and shoot them. That's what my brother would say. But like you, I guess you have the thing with like in Japan and like the other countries that like, you know, they don't really, it's gun free there, but they don't have a way of selling guns there. It's illegal. So like a lot of these laws, you know, they, okay, granted, you know, people in Japan have guns. I mean, freaking the co-director of Yamato, Nishizaki, was a huge gun military otaku, and he got arrested for like contraband all the freaking time because he didn't care. That's just one person out of like the millions that are there in Japan now. And like, you know, but it's not, I mean, yeah, they had their own issues and stuff, and, but guns isn't really part of it unless you're in the Yakuza for some reason.
Yeah. And, well, like, the
whole
thing is,
in France with like the Charlie Hebdo thing, that I, people, they keep seeing it as a terrorist act. It's an assassination thing. And they got the thing with a train ride too. So like, you know, it's hard to explain.
Well, I mean, with Japan, I think a lot of it is also that Japan does have sort of a stigma against people who act really poorly, which is not the case really in America, it seems like, a lot of the time. Because in the public schools...
We celebrate the people who act very poorly.
Right. In the public schools now, you're pretty much expected to be, you know, in favor of insanity. And if you don't oblige people who are crazy, then you get called all sorts of, you know, negative things, and it's just a nutty atmosphere. Whereas in Japan, they're a lot more rational and traditional than America is, really, in just how they approach this kind of stuff. I don't think that. I mean, for example, Jake cross dressing at school. You know, you're not going to see that happen at a Japanese school, because there's going to be, you know, quite a bit of shaming. No one's going to want to hang out with Jae-kun.
Yeah.
And instead of...
And they rely heavily on a community atmosphere and that, the whole social presence and everything. So, like, if you're not part of that, like, you're an outsider. And that's, like, detrimental for, like... That's the way of shaming if they take someone outside their social group and completely ignore them as a punishment.
Yeah, and that's usually, like, criticized, you know, because people are always criticizing Japan for that in America. But, you know, it's not entirely...
That's a lot safer than freaking bringing a gun to solve your problem.
It's not entirely a bad thing. Like, you know how much people are alienated in American schools in their own little way, you know? It's yeah. Not like that doesn't happen here, too. It's just, it happens in a different way, you know? People who aren't politically correct enough, you know, are going to be alienated here instead of... People who are crazy, you know, well, and stuff
that,
crazy,
I mean,
is valorized.
There's that whole thing of, I mean, you take social media and stuff, and there's that whole thing of what's called social isolation, where they're so stuck to their phones, and, you know, they have all the friends. There's just a numbers game on, you know, social media. It's not a real bonding experience. So then, like, they're isolated, thinking they have this, like, fictional amount of friends and everything, and they believe that, and... It's, you know, it's not real. It's not as real as having a real friend to talk to, like what you and me are doing over Skype. So
yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that technological kind of issue too with isolation, especially because so many people, a lot of these shooters are people who've been in their basement for years or whatever, and have no real interaction
mental
with other people.
I guess, yeah,
they think that everything is like a game, you know. They don't think that the people they're killing are real people. And I'm not saying that we should ban video games or whatever to make them get outside, because that won't work. They'll move on to something else. They'll move on to hentai or something. But, you know, the thing is, they're still you know, going to have problems even if you ban video games, and that's punishing a lot of people who play video games who are mentally sound to ban games, like a lot of people propose. Like, that's the other side from the ban guns side, is ban violent movies and video games. But that's not really solving the core issue either.
Yeah, I think we did that once with alcohol, called Prohibition, and alcohol got more distributed than it was legally, I think. And
yes,
that didn't end very well, because high crime was high at the time in order to supply supply and demand for people who wanted alcohol. And then once they got, and then had that another amendment to get rid of it, and yeah, the criminal organization was still there, but they were like, well, alcohol isn't our main source. We'll just have to survive another way. So they try to solve one problem and then wind up creating some more.
I mean, when you have Al Capone and stuff like that in the 30s, it's not as bad as that now, because alcohol is legal again. You know, when you take away one of the main sources of profits for criminals, then and people can just buy it over the counter without having to deal with, you know, some armed thug or whatever being their distributor, then of course people are going to take that option instead. And it, you know, it happens now with the marijuana, you know, that there's much less of a black market in a place like Colorado or Washington compared to before, mm-hmm. because people can just buy it legally without having to, you know, deal with the Mexican cartels as their source of, not that that's going to get rid of the cartels, because there's still plenty of other places where they have a monopoly, but. Well, anyway, we've gone way off topic from the Dark Master, and we've got 2 hours here, so I think we should probably quit recording.
We ended our review like an hour and 20 minutes ago, I think, and the rest of it has just been airing out dirty laundry and skeletons in our closet of the side of the internet, which I'm just going to have to find a creative way to try to take some of that stuff out. But I mean, I think whoever is listening to this left, probably one listener. I don't know, but
I'm sure the guy who requested it listened.
He might, yeah. I think hopefully Corey will stay with this thing to the end. I mean, we got a review done that I thought that I'm pretty sure that he wanted, because that was what I found in our message a couple months ago, and I was like, all right, well, that's what we're going to do, Twilight of the Dark Master.
Who was it that requested Area 88?
I can't remember who did Area 88. Maybe it was Cody that mentioned it. I don't know. But, like, I got the VHS tapes of those from the Edward Hawkins Marketplace on CosmoDNA, which is led up by Tim Eldred. Because I want to buy those from there, because I actually found out about that from an A&N cast that was an episode that was like a few episodes ago that was basically about like coming to grips of like people who have these large amounts of collections, and it's like, okay, it's time to part with some of these things. And I heard that episode and I realized I have, you know, again, it's that mindset comparison, like, well, my collection isn't as bad as this other guy. And once you start thinking like that, that's when it starts getting bad as the other guy. And because you're doing a comparison thing. So for me, it's like, I have a lot of stuff I've collected when I had the money to do so, and I'm still doing it now, which I could have been used for something else. Like, what's in here that I really want to hold on to and keep, and what's something that I want to get rid of? And granted, like, you know, when I go to BonsaiCon and stuff, I'll get rid of stuff out of my personal collection just to try to lower some of the things I have. But I wind up going through, like, my mangas and everything for right now and trying to get some cash for that on the marketplace. Crap, what was your question? Where were we going with this? I forgot.
Oh, I was just asking who requested Area 88 was what I asked a while ago.
Oh, crap, yeah. no, I got those tapes from, I got those tapes from Tim Eldred. It was from out of his personal collection. And I got some, like, really cool Animag and My Anime magazines from, like, the early 80s that I'll definitely want to scan for my blog eventually. So those are sitting on the shelf. It's really, like, the point of collecting is getting down to, like, what really means the most to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm, instead of it just being fluff, like, I'm just trying to condense that down so I can get some more shelf space. So, like, I've got a pile of stuff in the corner. So I'm trying to get rid of some things there. And there's still stuff I want to look through and everything. I mean, like, my VHS collection. I mean, people laugh and scoff at me having a VHS collection, but it's like that's kind of like half my anime selection there in terms of like me not getting on DVD, or it's still cheaper to get it on VHS instead of paying the DVD sets for like Gundam stuff.
Oh yeah, speaking of Gundam, cheaper actually, on VHS.
Yeah, well, the thing, speaking of Gundam, is the fact that I got the original, the dub movies from someone on eBay,
right,
along with like two Yamato films.
I have those too, we do have to review those at some point.
Yeah, that would actually be pretty fun. So,
and speaking of Yamato, I have also at Best Buy the other day, I bought the movie, live action Yamato movie. Have you seen
that? I like that film, and I showed it with some friends like a while ago, and they fell asleep through it because I was like, I don't, because I didn't know what kind of story it would tell, but it's really there for the diehard Yamato fans or people that have kind of like known about Yamato.
And then
so
I also got
I didn't mind it too much.
The Cyborg 009 re-cyborg thing. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't.
It's like a remake movie of Cyborg 009 and Appleseed Alpha. All three of these are still sealed. I got them at Best Buy a few weeks ago.
Oh, crap. No, there was... They did those CGI Aramaki Appleseed stuff. And then they did one about something 13.
That was the series.
I think Alpha's the third movie?
Yeah, it is.
Maybe I did see that. No, I don't know if I have seen. No! Oh, I did see Alpha. Oh, crap. I rented that a year ago.
I think you may have reviewed it.
It was okay.
I
remember Alpha.
Didn't you talk about it after the Harlock movie?
I think I did, yeah. That probably was when I rented it from Family Video. And, it's basically, like, takes place before the actual events of Appleseed or something and the manga or whatever. But I don't know. Like, it's a nice attempt, I think. So I guess I did mention it. I don't remember.
I haven't seen the second one still. So I have to watch that first. Well, I don't know if I do have to watch first.
No, I've got Ex Machina. I do have Ex Machina on Blu-ray. And I only bought it just because it was like a dollar when my Blockbuster was going out. And I was like, well, I saw it once. I think it wasn't that bad. I don't. It probably was. I don't know. Oh, do you know anything about fantasy football? My closing remark is how I am rigging up this fantasy football thing through my church leadership thing. Like, we set it up, and I only, like, did it because I was like, I don't really care. And, like, I've been getting scoffed at a bunch of crap because they're like, I basically picked Tim Tebow as, like, my first draft pick, and I picked him after he got cut from the Philadelphia Eagles. So he's not playing anywhere now.
Oh.
And because I just did it, I was just like, oh, whatever. And then, like, I picked some kickers because I thought their last names were funny. And, like, most of my team is, like, the San Diego Chargers because I was like, hey, I like Mega 64. They're out of San Diego. There's a football team there. I'll go with that. Dude, I have won every game because, like, it's based on a point system where you get different players and they're supposed to, like, you know, make a certain, like, they're predicted to make a certain amount of points. But, like, I've been winning somehow and people are furious at me. Like, there's one dude that's like, I think I play him next week, and he says if I beat him next week, he's completely done with it.
Wow.
And that makes me laugh because, and it's like, I want to keep winning to keep pissing off my youth staff at my church. Cause this is hilarious, cause people have been ridiculing me about like, I don't know what I'm doing, and they're mocking me, but I've been winning. Like, I'm like the top two people in this draft, and I had the worst picks. And I have no idea what I'm doing, and it's so great. But, like, I got Phillip Rivers. He's a former NC State quarterback, and he's been doing pretty good for me. So, we'll see. I'm playing this other guy this week, so.
You're getting pretty lucky, huh?
It is. But, like, I had Tim Tebow for a couple of weeks, and then I was just like, look, guys, Tim Tebow is not a quarterback. He is an omen. and he somehow helped me. And I wound up training him for a better linebacker or something like that, or a wide receiver. But then I'm still winning, so.
So somebody wanted Tim Tebow?
Do what?
Somebody else wanted Tim Tebow, even though they made fun of you for getting him?
No one wanted Tim Tebow because you can't play Tim Tebow because he's not playing for anybody. Like, he went to practice and try out for the Eagles, and they wound up cutting him. But even if they had him, he would have been like a second or third string quarterback. Like, he wants to stay with football as long as he's a quarterback because he's like, it's God's will or something. But my dad's looking at him like, dude, stop. You're making Christians look bad. You can play any other position, play a safety or do something. You're still playing. You're still, like, being involved in the team and just, like, work your way back as a quarterback if you wanted to. It's like, why do you want to stay as a quarterback? And so, like, this, that's so selfish of him, and he keeps shooting himself in the foot, thinking he's going to get his way. And he's just, like, playing the God card on that, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's surprising that he's not playing anymore. It just seems like he was really, really popular for a while, or really divisive, I guess. A lot of people hated him.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, he was the quarterback for the Broncos before the man. Well, I think it's Peyton Manning did it. And then, you know, Peyton Manning is already a really good quarterback anyways. But, yeah, they wound up cutting him, and he only played for, like, one season, but he only got popular because memeing in the internet and how he prayed when he got a touchdown or quarterback. And, like, I don't care about, like, I don't care, like, you know, I'm not bashing his faith or anything. Like, I don't care about that. But anyways, but it's like, in terms of, he thinks he's a great quarterback and he's like not. So, but congratulations. This podcast has now talked about something other than anime. It's called sports. I sort of care about those things. It's okay for nerds to like sports. I'm telling you this, get you guys this now for anyone listening 2 hours into this podcast. We need to end this. We're making up so much time because we haven't recorded in a month.
Yeah. What was the last one we did? Pat Labor?
Pat Labor 2, yeah.
Yeah. So now we've got both of the things recorded, right?
Yeah. So, and then we're done with Indiegogo perks.
What about Josh's? We're not doing that, right? Because he revoked his donation.
Dude, we can still do it.
Okay.
It just won't be like anytime soon or something. Just like, I wouldn't mind checking out the Fire Emblem OVAs. I don't care, but
yeah, I kind of want to see it.
Yeah,
too.
Like it just puts on the list. But like the Indiegogo things, it's like a more of a top priority because like people gave us money
right.
to get buttons and paper. I mean, I'm the one that kind of used it, but like the buttons are a really good idea, so that helps.
And then Naruto.
Giving Naruto and manga and stuff to Corey and Cody. But that's out of my personal collection, so.
Oh.
I had those things before, like, I didn't use the Kickstarter money to buy those things at Goodwill. I just found them, and just for the heck of them. Because I was like, oh, maybe I can give these out. And then I realized, I was like, I want to do something really nice for these guys. And then I just defaced Love Hina and a Naruto cover. So they got one of each, so. Oh, man. Yeah, let's go ahead and shut this down. I think I guess our next recording is going to probably be the Devilman movie or something. The next Devilman since we're in October.
Right. The third Devilman OVA. Look forward to it. The end. Social justice, 1, 2, 3. I wanna be.